All right, welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I'm Cody. Today's episode, we are going to be focusing on torture theater. I'm explaining this sounds worse than it actually is. What we do is we have one of us picks a movie, and it's an awful movie, and then we have to sit through it, and now we can talk about it. So today's movie was chosen by Joe. Joe, would you like to explain your choice?
Well, in lieu of the forthcoming big release this week, Captain America 2.
Hold on. Never have a sentence that says in lieu and forthcoming in the same thing. Like, that can never be a thing again. But go ahead.
Because in the loo you were forthcoming?
Yeah, that's not.
That means in the bathroom you were.
You don't like my swanky sentences?
Hey, and don't use swanky. Swanky's not a word that grown white American people should ever use. British people and women. Only people use the word swanky.
Well, there goes our English listeners. Thanks a lot.
All three of them that we had.
Well, I don't know how many there were.
Three, like,
five. Right, well, three different places. Three
I'm
different
sorry.
Because go ahead. Anyway, Joe, again. So in light of Captain America Winter Soldier coming out in theaters, Friday, the day this goes up.
We decided to go with Captain America. Now, not Captain America.
The first Avenger.
The first Avenger. The original 1990s Captain America.
Yep.
Which, by the way, was 1 hour and 37 minutes long
of classic American film.
Yeah,
so that was really fun, guys. I really enjoyed that.
How much, okay, so real quick, how much of that film do you think was shot in America?
Probably a good chunk of it.
So we saw the diner.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we don't, the first time you see it, it's all clouded in darkness, so you don't know where it's actually at. We see it later. That could easily be in another country. Like, they could be like Canada or something, too.
They probably shot the whole thing in Canada, except for the coastal scenes at the start.
Even like in the castle, too. That was probably. Canada's got coastal because they shoot Psych up in Canada.
We could have looked it up.
They probably didn't go very far because they were reusing actors.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's multiple actors playing multiple parts.
All right, so we'll get there in a second. We'll talk about how bad the casting was for. Well,
I don't
think
the casting was bad.
The casting decisions, what they did with them. So, we sat through this movie, all 1 hour and 37 minutes, all 97 minutes of that awful piece of garbage. So, first impressions, we'll go with the characterization of Captain America, which is funny because in the room we're recording this in, there is a blazingly bright or big sign.
We're all pointing to it, by the way.
Yeah.
Which works well for an audio podcast.
Yep, we're pointing. So, look. But it's a plaque that shows a cover from Captain America, and it literally is the exact same outfit, other than the white sleeves, I think.
He had blue sleeves.
Of the exact costume he's wearing in the movie, and it is awful. And
little wings and everything.
Are
on
his
the hat.
Ears sticking out?
No. Yeah, actually, his ears are sticking out.
Yep.
That one.
So they were pretty legit with that. Okay, we made fun of that earlier when we were watching. So
it looked bad.
Yep.
It looked exactly like the comic book, and that's kind of what
giant
they were going for.
The built-in abs. It was ridiculous. The boots. Oh my god.
Those are the greatest thing ever. Though.
Oh god, dude, and the gloves had
for
the
Captain
flange
America.
On. Oh Lord Almighty.
At least they didn't have a see-through shield.
Oh Lord, 70s. All right, so we'll start with Michael. What was your overall impression of the movie? By the way, this is your first time seeing it.
Yes, this is my first. I kind of remembered bits and pieces of it, but I was getting a lot of it mixed up with the 70s like TV movie version too.
Yep.
So I was kind of confused. I wasn't sure if I actually saw it or not, or just seen like previews of it. My actual thoughts on the movie is one. Really glad comic book movies are better now. That's for sure. But it wasn't a good movie at all. It had a lot of weird, like, of course, you're looking at 1990s. Graphics, not good. Casting, not good. Acting, writing. I think back then they're like, oh, this is a comic book movie. Comic books are for little kids, so we'll cater to that. Even though... there's multiple death scenes.
Shockingly violent.
Yeah.
Like blood. I was like, what?
Yeah, and Captain America gets shot
multiple
four or five
times.
A couple times right in the beginning of the movie, too.
Yeah, and then later on.
Yeah.
And
full on blood, too. Like when he was first turned into Captain America and the Nazi shoots him like good two or three times, like bullets go right through him. There's blood on his shirt. I was like,
in the front, on the back.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. Through and through. Like, he was good. He's like, oh, and then he passed out. I think it's when the stress of being turned into Captain America. But it's so good.
Weird goop that they never explained or anything like that.
The actual process. And they never once mentioned a super soldier serum.
Nope. But did look like the ooze from the original TNA.
What happened. Like, they created Captain America. That place went into disarray. The stuff fell into the sewers. Turtles and rats got into it. And shit,
dude. Connecting worlds. How you're thinking. But no, it was weird because the actual process of him turning into just a regular Steve Rogers into a Captain America was literally he had a couple of wires coming from him into a wall where this green looked like the Secret of the Ooze from Ninja Turtles was getting drained. I don't know if it was just spilling or going into him.
I don't know if it was actually draining. They just kept showing it. And
my favorite part about that scene is the biggest thing that's turning him into a super soldier is a big bright light that they signed on him from across the room. So that didn't
never explaining anything about it.
One fucking explanation.
What we do is we inject this fluid into you. We hit you with this bright light, and all of a sudden machines start blowing up around you, and you become muscular and you know start beating up on Nazis. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just love that scene where the lady scientist is just the head of the project, by the way, just standing there, sparks flying everywhere. This is natural. This is how electronics back then worked.
It's like these big computer banks, they shine a light on it, they flip the machine on, and sparks start flying everywhere. People are calm as day. Like, this is, we've done plenty of experience with people.
Exactly.
These are what machines do. They just shoot sparks out everywhere. No one worried about it. Apparently, that was just, you know, par for course. We're good with it. We're fine. Let's move on. It's like, what's, you guys, these were built in America, obviously, because, like, they're just blown up and no one cares. Like, whatever.
And then the guy that gets thrown into the rack of machines and electrocuted.
So the Nazi gets thrown into what looks like just
a rack of electronics.
Rack of electronics, electrocuted to death. Yeah. Makes no sense.
Totally safe.
Yep. Yeah. That was rough by sheer. So, Mike, go and continue with your impression of what was going on.
So once you see all that, and the other thing that kind of bugged me, and we talked about it right away, is the first time you see Steve Rogers, the ideal of it is supposed to be this scrawny, you know, tiny dude turns into this huge, you know, hunk of a man that's going to fucking be Captain America. Played by the exact same guy, looked exactly the same pre-operation to post-operation. The only thing is he had like a really bad overacting limp. That was the only thing. They didn't even give him crutches.
He's supposed to have polio, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, they
could have given him polio crutches. Yeah,
polio crutches or like
this
an exposed
movie
brace. Yeah.
Almost gave people polio. That's how bad it was.
Polio was cured by the time this movie came out. But yes,
it was a small resurgence for those who saw it.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's for the four people that saw it in theaters.
So my thought was, why didn't, and I'm looking up some of the facts on it. I guess they actually considered using two different people. They could use a skinny, scrawny, normal, you know, dude, and then could have used the guy they ended up using for both roles as just the Captain America version, but no, they went exact same guy, no difference in him whatsoever. The only difference is his clothes got smaller.
So it shows off his muscle.
Yeah, and the dude, like, for a muscle, we're talking 1990, when you got Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, all the, you know, the 90 action heroes, all in their prime, and all muscle heads, and you pick this dude who's in solid shape.
Well, you gotta say, though, like, you know, they didn't have a budget to pay one of the big names at the point, so they're not gonna,
well,
like,
no,
I'm not
saying go after one of the big names, but I'm saying you could have found a dude that spent some time in a gym.
Of course. Yeah. The best part about the muscles is, if you look at the suit, the abs literally were built into the suit. Yeah.
There's, like, no scene where he has any shirts off or anything.
So like,
he could have
literally
had a beer belly and they just painted
everything. It was fantastic.
On.
It was just, like, built into the suit. You can tell because it was, like, there was muscles in the lower half where the stripes are at. When it got to his chest, nope. Couldn't tell.
Yep.
And just as a little side bit, I just came across, I don't know if it's 100% true or not because it is on the internet, but can you guys guess one person that was considered for the role of Captain America in this movie but turned it down?
Who?
Val Kilmer. Considered for the role of Captain America, and I see your wheels spinning. What movie did he turn it down for? The Doors.
Oh, The Doors.
So,
wow.
Val Kilmer, Good job, sir.
For once in your career.
That was the best decision you've ever made. Like, literally, maybe the second best after doing MacGruber. But the best... Oh, yeah, that pissed Cody off. But easily the best decision you ever made. So good job on that.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Yosef?
I don't know what Mike's talking about. I love this movie.
Oh, that's so gross.
And in lieu of that decision, Mike's rehired and Joe's fired.
No, I'm seeing it through the nostalgia of seeing it when I was a kid, and I remember watching this. I actually don't even remember if I've seen it. I saw it in the movie theaters, but I do remember seeing it on TV, and I absolutely loved it. It's so cheesy. It's horrible. It is not good, and that's why it is pretty. It is a
torture theater worthy movie.
Worthy
for sure.
Movie, exactly.
You can't even form words. Awful this movie was. The you know the worst part. I'll tell you this. So the worst part for me, it's not the outfit, it's not any of that. It's like Red Skull, right? So you see him, and he's got no like the gross skin, and he's all red. Somehow cuts his hand off with a pocket.
Which
dagger.
They don't even show, like, cutting
yeah,
all
hits,
the way.
Like, hits it looks his sleeve, like,
and
all
looks
of a sudden
like
his hand
stops
yeah,
right there.
Like, you see it, and then, like, the rocket takes off, and his hand pops off, whatever, right? So you come back, and the only way to, like, show that he has a fake hand, he's always wearing gloves, but you see the in between the gap between his sleeve and the glove is what looks to be, like, the piece where you attach the fake hand
like
to
like a little
it.
Metal, like, bearing.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, the, yeah like, a little, like a little socket it fits into. Hilarious. But, so when you see him later in the present day, 1990, America and Rome and things, the way he's had extensive plastic surgery, still has scars where the skin was cracked, but just is like now tan, has hair somehow, but they just didn't want to put him in red makeup, so they just gave him bad skin.
We never even addressed the fact that it goes from 19...
It's 7 years after 1946.
Yeah, but
it's 1936. So
43.
Yeah, so 43. So in 7 years, a little kid who could have been in no more than 10, pulled away from his family, watched them murdered in front of him, then dragged in, had this experiment with that weird mask thing they like didn't even strap to him. He literally was just stuck there.
Never even explained why they wanted. I mean, they just were like, the kid is intelligent.
Yep.
We
like,
steal him and kill family.
He's smart.
Like,
we don't know how.
I don't know why
he's
suddenly Russian or something.
Yeah. No, you know how he was smart? He was playing the piano really, really well.
Oh, that explains it.
That's how everyone knew
he was
smart.
With his mom, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah. But so they take this kid. They kill his family in front of him. They do this experiment on him. 7 years later, full-grown man with awful fucking skin.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the raw version of the super soldier whatever program they were putting him through until it got bettered by coming to America made you a violent sociopath adult.
You know what it was?
With bad skin.
They tightened that mask on him a little bit too tight because
if you pay attention.
No. I know. It doesn't touch him.
Yep.
But they tightened it too tight. That's why he goes insane. That's why he... You know, has the bad complexion.
Little swirly lock thing. He's like, almost there. All the way, it's fine. No, what I think has happened is they didn't put it tight enough.
Oh, and he
just
so
bounced
it,
around
yep, a
just
bounced around
and got all, yeah,
gotcha.
Just, I can't handle this. And this mask is making all my skin over my entire body bad.
That would explain the cracks in the yep. skull, too.
Yeah. What was bad about the mask, aside from all that, when he's actually being Red Skull, is you could see his neck from the shirt that he's wearing. And halfway up his neck, all of a sudden, it gets an inch and a half thicker. So it just takes this big jump to an inch and a half thicker, and his whole head is just way too fucking giant to be an actual real thing. And it starts right... You can see regular... You can see where the mask moves around when he moves his head. It's rough. You can see his eyes.
Yep. You can see his the tan flesh is painted red underneath the eyes. You can see his
super
mouth
rough.
Was just like... Oh, yeah. I mean, mind you, 1990... But still, guys, like, oh, it's bad.
The makeup wasn't the best.
We haven't got to the casting of Bernie yet.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, not even the actual name of his girlfriend. I'm pretty sure it's Betsy, right? Is it Betsy? We'll look it up. Look it up. So when
Bernice Stewart / Sharon. Bernie.
So the same actress who plays the love of his life before he gets turned into Captain America and lost and presumed dead. Is the same actress that plays her as she's older and also plays her daughter. So the same actress plays two different people, and then one of them she plays at two different time periods. So they couldn't even take, like, the young one, because in the past she has brown hair, and then when she plays her daughter, she has blonde hair, which is easily
very
not her actual
contemporary, hair. Short, kind of
like
messy.
Early 90s
typical haircut.
But then you see, what I didn't realize until later, you never actually see her and her mom interact with each other. Because it's the same actress.
Well, yeah, and like but when they were zipping into the body bag, you just see a clump of hair.
And so you see this, and the way they made her older was they threw on makeup, and you could see that it was just awful.
Just god-awful makeup.
Like, it was easily a wig, just super gray, moved around way too easily. Her neck looked like she used to weigh like 500 pounds and now it's weighs 90.
like the end of Austin Powers when Fat Bastard moves all the weight.
Yep. So he looks like that. It's moving around when she's talking. Her chins, I should say, move around. Like, it was bad. Like, they could just, like, got an old lady.
The liver spots made her look like a spotted cheetah.
Yep. Liver spots looked like she had some kind of crazy disease. Like, it was bad. It was rough. Then, you have the step or the husband who gave birth to their daughter, you know, was the father of her child, who
that
Steve Rogers is
the other way.
Yeah. Steve Rogers, you know, gets up with, and the rest of the adventure with is this massive guy, like huge dude. And like, he's all upset that Steve Rogers is alive and blah, blah, blah and stuff. But like, doesn't really do much else.
Not one line, right? Like,
he said,
hoo, like that was his line.
He said something to her, like something to her, I think, after they got shot. I think it was his only line. But like, you could have just made that guy like dead. Like, you could have just said like he was dead or something. But so he had to be around. And not, by the way, did not look as old as Bernie did.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that was rough. The action scenes. The first one you see, the fight between Captain America.
I'm sorry, I wasn't looking. Did you use air quotes when you said that?
I did use air quotes.
Okay, thank you.
Because that's exactly what kind of action it was. They were awful. But the first time you see Captain America fight with Red Skull, first off, he's taking dudes out with his shield. And like at one point, you can literally see it's made of plastic, but it flies and sounds like metal. Hits dudes, somehow doesn't kill them, I guess.
There was a couple times where like the shield stuck into a wall and they wouldn't show the whole shield because you knew someone was just holding it against the wall, so they shot the person out of frame. So there's a lot of times in the movie where you see half the shield sticking into a wall because he threw it so hard.
Yep. Except for when he threw it at the bike and just made the bike stop and dude fly over. Yeah. So the Red Skull, you see him, has all these Nazi people behind him. They have a big fight. They strap him to a rocket that's easily way oversized from when you see it later. He's held in by one piece of metal that goes across his body.
Which is
pins
one
his
really
arms.
Good piece of metal, by the way.
Literally looked like it was like they put tinfoil over it to make it look like it was welded to the rocket. He didn't, first off, he was standing on the walkway that was across from the rocket, but somehow was attached to the rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Movie magic with the flare of the hands. So that was awful. The rocket is shot from Germany or Italy. I'm not really too sure.
But it's
which
still
one
around
was.
The
yep.
European area. And the whole the point is that it's going to go blow up the White House.
Casa de Blanco.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's not even the right way to say it in Italian. But
whatever. Yeah, he's speaking perfect like English with an accent. But he gives this huge monologue to Steve or Captain America while he's strapped to the rocket, telling him what's happening. He gets to the term White House and can't figure that out.
Is Casa de Blanca, how do you say,
White House? White House? Yeah, it's awful. So then they fire this rocket that's supposed to destroy the White House.
This little tiny thing. It was.
It could have destroyed some of it.
It looked like a V2 rocket, what the Germans had.
But Captain America's strapped to this thing. It gets shot all the way from Italy or from Germany. We're not really too sure where they were at. I think they were still in Italy. I'm not too sure. It gets shot all the way across the Atlantic Ocean to blow up the White House. A little kid, who we find out later becomes the President of the United States, sneaks out of his parents' hotel room to go take pictures of the White House at 4 a.m.
Because that's what kids do.
Yep. No guards whatsoever in front of the White House. No fence.
It
no
was
nothing.
A simpler time back simpler then. Time.
It was, yeah. 1943.
No, that was, yeah. That was 43. You know,
so he walks up. He's taking pictures with the most amazing telephoto lens I've ever seen in my life.
That was an awesome
Here's
shot.
Here's a rocket. You look. The camera pans backwards. You see this, what looks to be a rocket thing, making this noise coming. The little kid looks at it, focuses. You get to see a perspective down the lens of the camera, like the kid's seeing it. Perfectly aimed right on Captain America, who somehow is able to bend his neck to see this little kid well enough from a distance, recognizes the kid, and redirects the rocket by kicking the panel he's attached to with his boot.
Now, we didn't look this up, but like it's thousands of miles
from Europe to the White House. Yeah, easily
America could have, you know, started trying to escape then or redirect this rocket, but no, he waits until this point where, oh my God, there's a kid in the middle of the road near the White House. I need to redirect this rocket all of a sudden and starts kicking
so
out one
kicks
of the
it,
fins.
Dents the panel that he's attached to. Makes the rocket redirect, scoop right over the kid's head, right over the top of the White House. And the next time we see it, somewhere in Alaska, which, by the way, is 3,365 miles, roughly, to Alaska, crashes into the loosely packed snow, doesn't blow up, gets frozen in the snow, found, obviously, you know, 60 years later, or no, 50 years later, 50, in the 90s. By a bunch of people who were just walking down through the snow in this place in Alaska. They cut him free in a block of ice,
perfectly.
Not attached to the rocket, mind you. No metal strap. Somehow had a shield back on his arm when he busts out.
Yeah, because the Red Skull did not give that back to him when he shot him off
Pretty
the
sure.
rocket.
Pretty sure. We didn't have a... It's
a boomerang, you know, thing.
Yep, it returned to him when he wanted it to.
Eventually, it was stuck in the ground, but eventually it just dislodged from the ground and went back to him.
So, that was pretty awful.
I still love how perfectly square that ice
The ice block was. They broke it, like, they were able to cut through. Mike said lasers, I do believe, was his answer of how they cut it out. So
only way they were able to do it. It's lasers.
My answer is how the bottom got cut is the laser bends, because it's a really good laser, so you can bend the laser at one point when you want.
No, well, you cut down, and then you put a mirror at the bottom of the first cut to direct the laser.
Oh, and then direct the laser.
Oh, wow, we got more science-y there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what happens.
Joe may be a rocket scientist, but Mike...
I know movie magic.
Movie magic. So then we go there. So then Captain America makes his way out of somewhere in Alaska on foot, wearing his Captain America outfit, holding his shield.
The rankest Captain America outfit ever.
Yeah, easily 50
Going
years
from
in the snow.
1940s, like, from Europe to America to fucking Alaska. Yeah,
frozen in ice
frozen
for 50
in
years.
Ice for 50 years. That thing had to stink.
And then walking from Alaska gets somehow found in Canada by the Red Skull's
assassin
daughter.
Femme Fatale.
Yeah, I think it was not his daughter. Might have been one of the other ones.
It was hard to keep track
of. Yeah, they all look the same. So then she gets in the worst trained assassins, by the way, because they can't shoot straight to save their lives. Wings him with one shot. He rolls down a hill after being winged by a bullet. Mind you, earlier in the movie, when he first got transformed, he got two or three shots through and through on his abdomen, but a shot to the shoulder, a grazing blow on his shoulder, somehow knocked him down a hill. Rolls just at the moment when we find out later a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winning reporter just happens to be driving his truck by to find him. They get in, they drive away, and she doesn't shoot at the truck.
No, she shot at the truck. She just missed
She just misses it completely. And then somehow gets back to Italy in no amount of time to tell the Red Skull that she missed Captain America altogether.
You know, mind you, too, they had helicopters. That's how they dropped these dirt bikes into the ground or onto the ground.
Yep.
They couldn't have just hopped back into a helicopter and been like, hey,
helicopter took off,
truck right there.
Yep.
It's right there. After him. That's theirs.
So then we get Captain Car Thief, who steals this reporter's truck by the worst method ever.
Pull over. I'm getting sick.
You're going to learn that Captain America in this movie, the serious problem with stealing people's shit, man.
Yeah, really bad. So he fakes getting car sick, walks a good 100 feet away from the truck, The guy comes over. Hey, you all right? Runs like a pansy over to the truck. Steals this guy's truck. Leaves him in the Canadian wilderness somewhere. He'd be eaten by bears and moose and whatever wildlife is in that.
If and it's lumberjacks.
Yeah, lumberjacks.
Lumberjacks. You know,
giant spiders. People. I mean, oh, yeah. Whatever. You
whatever
know?
Is in Canada, because yep. You know they got weird shit up there.
Yeah, yeah, easily. So then he steals this dude's truck, drives it somehow down to the coast of California with no passport.
No. He drives it until he runs out of gas. And then
gets in the back of the beer truck.
Yeah, the Molson Light truck.
Just pops open the door, gets in, drives down.
Takes a nap
in the back all the way down. Because you think he would want to be in a refrigerated truck after being frozen in ice for 50 years? Like, this is really comfortable. I slept for a while. I want to do it again. Gets all the way down to California, like a good like L.A. area where he's from.
He's on the beach on the coastline.
On the
there,
beach.
Yeah.
Nobody checked the back of that truck at any times.
Nope.
Then as it's driving by, what do we see? A truck with a door open?
Yep.
No Captain America. He had jumped out. Oh, shit. So then he's now back home, goes to see his girlfriend.
Oh, mind you, he doesn't believe that it's the time. He thinks it's the same.
Yeah.
Generally the same time that he was before the accident, not knowing it's 1990.
Because when he was in the truck with the reporter, which, by the way, is played, I can't remember the actor's name, but he played the henchman villain to Lex Luthor in the Superman movies. So that was awesome.
Was that Ned Beatty?
Yeah,
Ned Beatty. Yep.
Yeah.
So he was in it. Looked exactly the same, just with glasses and chewing on a pencil.
It was only a couple of years later.
Fantastic.
Wasn't it?
When those ones come out, like 85.
So it was five, six years.
Yeah. Anyways,
one of the first people to swap from DC Marvel, man.
Yeah.
Sort of, because one of them wasn't actually made by Marvel, as we saw by looking at the credits.
Yeah.
So he then shows up at his, I guess you could say, ex-girlfriend, lost love's house.
Mm-hmm.
Is standing there like a weirdo, staring at the house. A car pulls up. He sees this girl, blonde girl, carrying groceries that looks like his long-lost love. Says, Bernie, grabs her. She freaks out. Hits him in the face with a six-pack of beer.
Yeah. Right in the fucking dome, dude.
Gets knocked down.
Captain America gets knocked down by a 95-pound girl with a six-pack of beer.
95 pounds because she's holding groceries.
Yep. Exactly.
And a big purse. So then gets knocked down, gets his clock cleaned, as they say, by this girl with a six-pack of beer. Beer flies out. The beer cans fly everywhere. Then she screams that this creepo is trying to grab me or trying to do whatever. Doesn't run, doesn't go into the yard, just stands
for her
there.
Mom.
So her mom comes out, takes one look at Steve Rogers and goes,
boing,
just dust in the patio.
Oh, and if you want to know what that means, you can just email one of us.
Yeah.
So
not a good thing.
She's like, oh my God, it's Steve Rogers. Cut to the instant, and then the dad comes out, big bulking dude, comes out. She's like, no. Don't hurt him. Like, then it cuts the inside of the house. He's in clothes, which I'm gonna guess he got from the husband. So now he's wearing the dude's clothes. She's fawning all over him. We don't see the husband anywhere. She tells him he's a nice guy. Goes over all this whole stuff. Like, told him he waited for 16 years for him. Everyone told her he was dead. Whatever, right? So he then cuts to him at the daughter's apartment, saying, thanks for letting me use your apartment. The bad guys show up at the house because they figure out who Steve Rogers was in love with. Somehow thought, oh, that's where he must be going.
Which I didn't really understand. Were they tapping somebody's phone line?
Who knows?
Because eventually they just, like, they're poolside.
But in the same day from Italy to California while it's still bright outside.
Yeah,
they get from Italy.
That jet was hauling ass.
That personal jet was a supersonic jet.
Supersonic.
So that was ridiculous. They go there. He's flipping through TV channels with the daughter. She apparently is completely fine with this weirdo in her apartment, sitting on the same couch.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently that's okay in the 90s. The dad, you can see, is fuming at the house still. Like, he's at my daughter's apartment, blah. Like, you know, the wife is cooking. The doorbell goes off. She goes to answer. I'll get it. Still, no lines from this guy.
Mm-mm.
She opens the door, and it's now this the reporter that Steve Rogers, Captain America, has stranded in the Canadian wilderness, somehow found the house because he went through the secret folder, air quotes on secret folders, this reporter somehow got.
I know. I like how they thoroughly explain how he figures out this is Captain America's, you know, old
flame house, because he sent letters.
But they never explain how he gets the folders. Like, I guess the president could have given him
because his best friend is the president, because you see it earlier. But it doesn't matter. It's fucking awful movie magic, as Mike would say.
Movie magic.
Oh, sorry. I didn't do the hand movements. Movie magic. So he shows up. He's trying to tell her, I need to know where Captain America is at. Even though, by the way, he knew his name as Steve Rogers, because on the envelope he gets in the secret folder, it says Steve Rogers.
But he still refers to him as Captain America.
And at this point is the only person referring to him as Captain America.
Yes.
Which, by the way, they never really officially say. Even Red Skull is referring to him as his brother and Captain America, but they never they never even mention it at all.
So they show up, he gets shot in the back by a silenced weapon, which we never see.
Nope.
One of the female assassins with her bodyguard / swag captain is standing at the door, watching the door as this dead reporter is, or soon to be dead reporter.
Yeah, 'cause he's dying.
Is laying on there. She grabs a hold of Bernie. Is looking like she's going to torture her with what looks like a super, super old taser thing. Basically a black box with silver posts sticking out of it. We never see it actually work.
Yeah.
The husband, who's this giant dude, just standing there. Nothing else. He hasn't been shot.
No. He gets shot immediately after the reporter
comes. Oh, that's right. When they come through the door, he gets shot. So he's down. He gets shot in the shoulder and somehow falls down. Like, I was like, well, that's why you never stood up to Captain America, because you got one little shot and you're down. Come on now, man. So then they apparently torture and kill Bernie. The matter of minutes, place is covered in police and reporters and people. And then the daughter shows up, sees that she's dead, tries to cry over the body bag, which is just weird. They let her in anyways. It's just timeline is just skewed completely in this. So then they go, and like, now they know who he is. Not that it matters, because they know who Captain America is. Apparently so does anybody. Then you jump to I Want Revenge. So they jump to Captain America and the daughter over in Italy.
Yeah.
Somehow know that's where they need to go, by the way.
Yeah, like, there's no way to even explain it. Yep. Yeah, they just suddenly know, there's a castle somewhere over here. Yep.
So we're going to go there.
The Red Skull still used his name from before he was the Red Skull. So yep.
But magic. And then when they go to the diner, holy shit. So the diner has now been redone, sort of.
This is the diner, I don't know if we mentioned it earlier, but where Captain America had the procedure done to make him Captain America. The cover for this underground lair was an old, you know, or I guess 40s style diner from back in the day. So they go back there so Captain America can get some clues. 50 styles diner. When you walk in, it looks like scenes from Back to the Future. And like it's a themed diner at that point.
What used to be the coat room, which was the entrance to the secret lab underground, is now the women's bathroom. So he busts in.
People are screaming. People are like, oh, you can't go in there. And he literally grabs a girl and goes, calm down, and pushes her aside.
Yep. And then he's searching the wall for the entrance. Mind you, we don't even know that he was taken in the same way to this entrance, because we never saw him go into the lab.
We saw him
in the lab, already strapped to the machine. Yeah. But anyways, so then he rips the hand dryer out of the wall, which takes the wall with it, to see that there's a foot, easily a foot, if not more, gap between the new bathroom wall and this old coat rack wall, which, by the way, still had coat racks on the wall to activate the secret entrance, and goes right in.
Well, yeah, you would leave those there.
Yeah, of course. So that's why that wall was so thick, so you didn't have to run into it, try to build a wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yep. So get on this lab. Suddenly, all of a sudden, the the hit squad shows up when they're down there after they find the diary. They hide under the stairs. They get out, take off in the car. Like, it's just like the people, like, they come, these Nazi people, the Red Skulls, assassins people, come waving guns in this diner. No one's calling the police. No one's freaking out. People are still sitting down eating their meals. After this dude just busted through the wall of the women's bathroom, just still chilling there. Yeah, whatever. They take off. They find, this is his real name. This is where he is, because that's apparently what supervillains do. They're in the book. So you can just look up their real name, and boom, there they are. So they go to Italy. They're tracking people down somehow.
Yeah, they find the Red Skulls, like, long
lost. Wait. You guys are forgetting one important part. So the girl takes them to Italy. She's driving around, showing them on the map where he needs to go. And what does Captain America do?
I'm getting car sick.
Because he's played by Christian Bale.
He doesn't really sound like that, but that's how we kept imitating him during the movie. So he goes, can you pull over? I'm starting to get sick. That sounds familiar. So he gets out of the car, walks over to this pillar, grabs his stomach. He's hanging on the pillar like he's about to throw up. He's acting like he's gagging. Girl, genuinely concerned with the health and welfare of Mr. Captain America, goes over to check on him. What's he do? Runs to the driver's side, locks the passenger side door, and, like, this time they are literally 14 feet from the car. So this chick could have gotten in, but she was just like, hey, what are you doing? And he's all like, I can't let you go into danger, and drives off. Motherfucker stole two cars in this movie.
Left a reporter who was trying to help him in the Canadian wilderness, left an American girl with no ID, no money, no nothing, in the middle of some Italian street, and just steals a car. Like, Captain Not-So-America. Like, this dude is ridiculous.
So Cap's got the car. He drives to his location, and he's, like, looking around, and then there's, the place where he's trying to go into, which, as we learn, ends up being Red Skull's old home from which he was abducted from. So that's why he's there.
Which looked completely different.
Yeah. This is completely different. Yep. So he's trying to get in. A lady from the second floor sticks her head out, starts talking
speaking Italian.
Yeah, whatever language it was. And he's all like, do you speak English? And she just shakes his head no. And then what happens? The girl he stole the car from
and left
pops right in, goes, buongiorno.
I speak the Italian.
Fucking Italy to her.
She starts speaking Italy. Okay, fair enough.
Speaking the Italy. This whole I stole your car again, literally, he must have went down the block because that bitch was right behind him when he got there.
She called the taxi when he took off. I mean, there were no taxis around.
She points out on the map before he takes her car that she points out this is where the house is at, so she knows where it's at.
She knew before him.
Yep. Yeah. So, but gets there, and no time flat. Like, what is going on? Like, it's ridiculous. They go in. They find this busted up recorder still that was recording him playing piano when he was younger. Mind you, from, like, 1930,
the Red Skull.
Yeah, the Red Skull when he's little, when he was taken. So 1936, they have this recording machine that somehow has the exact same reel of tape in it, all beat up. They take it, so they steal a recorder basically from this Italian family.
I think they gave it to him. I don't see why not.
They pretty much stole it from him. I mean, come on now.
Movie magic.
Yeah, movie magic. So they go to this, just jump right to this electronics store. Where dude easily speaks English, broken but English, tells him he can't fix it, presses a button, what and happens?
Works.
This is the best built recorder ever.
Well, yeah, they built them to last back then.
Of course they did, with the same reel of tape in it.
Yeah, didn't even have to rewind it or anything. Yep.
So then the electronics of nowadays, a Walkman with a recorder built into it apparently, is used to record this. Him playing the piano from when he was a kid, and then the just ridiculous jump to, like, the family getting shot, and then that comes into play later They then go and are going to hunt down Red Skull. They drive this piece of shit fucking, like, Fiat car or whatever down to the, down this country road to this big castle. They then are being chased by two Porsches, which somehow don't catch up to them enough time for them to pull off the side of the road onto this road. Then she tricks him the same way, essentially the same way he did, yeah. Locks him out of the car, diverts the tail they had, gets caught by a roadblock that's within walking distance from where they were. You could see it from the road where they got on.
The roadblock still made the no roadblock, sense, too.
Two cars, 15 people.
Two Porsches, two two-door cars.
Yep.
There's like 15 people just swagging everywhere.
Yep. We jump to this roadblock. They are too many people for these two cars that are there.
Yeah, two cars blocking the road. Yep. Easily 16 people.
Easily. So she comes to a stop. Which seems to be minutes later, Captain America shows up, sees that there are headphones that you saw earlier from the Walkman that she had just in the road. Yep, just right there in the road. No sign of cars, no sign of people, no nothing. So now he's out there by himself, has to walk to this castle that we still don't know how far it is, even though we know it's 50 miles from where they were. Now he has to walk. She's being held captive.
Whole time he's walking to this place, he's in normal clothes, carrying a big goofy bag with his shield
size.
And his Captain America uniform essentially caught up in the bag. You would think maybe Captain America would run there. Nah. Nice casual walk.
He's not in any hurry. Sits
on a bluff away from the castle.
That they're going
to
be in danger. Yeah, he's got plenty of time to get there.
Of course. Sits on like a bluff facing this castle, trying to figure out what he's going to do. Mulls over the fact he's going to put on the suit again.
He looks like he's having an existential crisis. Yep. He's like, do I put the suit on? Do I not?
I didn't get that at all. He's sitting there looking at the suit, and he like looks up as he's like, reflecting on all these horrible...
What should I do?
Wore the suit, like, once. Literally, wore the suit once, got frozen, busted out of it, got back to America, hadn't put the suit on since then again.
Nope.
No idea what this huge inner conflict he's trying to convey is all about, but he's seriously doubting himself for some reason.
Yes, very much so. So then he sneaks into the castle by climbing up on the exterior wall...
Which is
super awesome. By then, the president somehow escapes captive of a room filled with these people by pouring acid on the bars.
They can't see through the bars that he's not there, and only until they open up the cage that they're like, oh my God.
Iron bars inside a room, and they're facing it. Somehow he sneaks out. They chase him down just in time for Cap to be right on the edge of the wall. The Red Skull then, like, basically throws him over the wall, even though his plan is to basically brainwash the president. So, but he somehow thinks, oh, I'm just going to throw him over the wall, I'll be fine, right? Cap catches him. They think he's dead, so then they run. The big fight happens. Captain America's taking out dudes. The president's helping. Just awful. Don't give the president the shield to protect him. Just let him run in front of you.
No.
So the dudes I'm sure the thought was, the dudes will shoot at me, right? Because I'm the one wearing the colorful outfit.
Well, yeah, Captain America, who's been shot multiple times already to this point, knows he's going to survive a couple gunshot wounds, doesn't think, hey, Mr. President, take this shield to stop the bullets from hitting you, because you will die if you get hit by a bullet.
So, that happens.
What you don't understand is that the bad guys are accurate enough not to shoot the president, because they don't want to hit him.
Yep.
But they're not accurate enough to actually hit Captain America or his girlfriend.
Only in the shield. They hit the shield.
If he doesn't have the shield, everything goes around him, except for maybe a couple of, like, you know...
When the motherfucker's got legs. It's not like this shield covers his whole body. It's a regular size shield. only covering up his head and most of his upper torso.
Have you tried shooting at legs when you're
motherfucking machine guns, when you're
5 feet away? It's difficult.
Yeah, yeah, the machine gun makes your hands go all awry.
So they're running through these catacombs of this castle. They stumble upon this hallway that has like no windows, but yet has daylight in it. They're in this gunfight down this hallway. He throws the shield, which, by the way, only protection they have from these bullets, hits the roof arch thing of this hallway, which collapses on top of these dudes, blocking the doorway. Next time you see them, they're on the other side of that collapse. The president picks up a pistol and a cell phone and calls in for help.
Which, by the way, was a cordless home phone.
Yes, easily a cordless home phone.
Not a cell phone.
No, because we saw a cell phone earlier, and it was easily Zach Morris' cell phone from Saved by the Bell. The big, you know, grayish-white brick with the solid black antenna. Fantastic. So that happens. The president's now well-armed. They walk into this courtyard area where, for some reason, Red Skull now has the daughter, Captain America's girlfriend at this point, held captive at gunpoint with some of his female assassins, his femme fatales. He's sitting in a chair now, holding some sort of gun thing that's hasn't really been explained yet.
No.
It's about to be, but not really. There's guards kind of sparsely around. Cap walks in. He's about to be shot in the back, and the president says, "Captain America!" He turns in time to see this dude with a gun pointed at Captain America, then turns to fire at the president.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Shoots him in the arm. The president drops his gun, falls backwards. Captain America then gets shot out from all these different angles, throws his shield at this dude that just shot the president, cutting the gun in half. Mind you, this is the same shield he was using to throw it and hit people, not cutting in half. Same shield he threw to stop a motorcycle, but didn't cut into the tire, just made the bike just stop and fling the driver off.
What you don't see is the shield actually has, like the edges are different on certain sections. So he knows how to throw this shield so that it hits the gun cut in half.
Yes. So cuts a gun in half. Boomerangs back to him. He catches it.
Oh, and this second favorite part of the movie, we'll get to my favorite part of the movie a little bit later, but my second favorite part of the movie is after that happens, he goes, "Mr. President." President looks and he's still selling the gunshot wound. Big thumbs up and a corny "we want you" smile. He goes, "Thanks."
Yep.
And they had time for that. Bullets are still firing at his fucking head, and he gives him a big old corny thumbs up and thanks.
It means a lot.
Rough.
Yep.
Means a lot.
Remember, child hero. He saved Captain America's life after Captain America saved his.
And don't care.
Yep. So then Captain America then surviving these gunshots from being on the ground is then shot at by a machine gun from Red Skull.
So basically,
So first off, Red Skull picks up this chair, this all wooden chair, throws it at Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Captain America has to flip out of the way. This chair somehow breaks. We never hear it.
Nope.
Just shows up shattered on the ground somehow.
And by the way, what Captain America's only real actual super ability seems to be is, one, not die from getting shot, and two, being able to do multiple flips in the air.
Yes.
Because he did that a lot during the movie.
Yep.
A whole lot. He just...
When he jumped over the car.
Yeah, jumped over a car, double flip. Red Skull throws a chair at him, double flip.
Yep.
Like, it's like double flip. It was like playing a video game and you only know that one special move and you keep repeating it over and over again. That's how he played this role. Just a shit ton of double flips.
Yep. So then Captain America, or Red Skull, grabs a machine gun, starts shooting Cap. Cap's on the ground, grabs the president, throws him his shield. He then backflips to the shield, picks it up in time to then get down in prone position, blocking all the bullets from hitting him, and rolls off towards a column, giving enough time for Red Skull and his men, air quotes, to grab the girl, run away. She then somehow gets away and is running on her own. One of the femme fatales goes after her. They get in a pseudo cat fight.
Still another scene I don't understand.
Don't know how any of that happened.
But then somehow the femme fatale escapes. Like, they don't show that, but then... their fight spills over into Captain America and the Red Skull's fight, and you're like, how did that happen?
They come out of two different corridors to the same area. Red Skull's now on walking towards a grand piano, pulls off what we think is a detonator for a bomb, and this grand piano is sitting out in the complete open on the edge of this castle. Captain America's being held behind this wall, being shot at by this machine gun that just will not run out of bullets.
It's a classic 80s gun. It never runs out.
Huge clip on this thing. Mind you, the entire time he's been chasing Red Skull, he's been being shot at by the same gun, deflecting all the bullets with this shield, because the Red Skull never shoot at his legs.
And Red Skull is getting, which I thought was a weird thing to actually put in the movie, is physically getting tired, like gassed and winded from running from Captain America.
At a slow pace, by the way. Not like running, jaunting away from Captain America.
Yeah.
Gets his way up these stairs to this grand piano in the middle of nowhere, pulls this in the middle of this grand piano, because remember, he played a piano when he was little, so like it's still in his heart, has this little device hidden in the piece that holds your sheet music, pulls it out, has it, starts this timer, which just has a number 1, 2, and 3 on it. It starts beeping and making noises. He then tells him that it's not the biggest device ever, but it's going to do enough damage. So then, Captain America...
Yeah, wouldn't it be a menacing, evil guys? This bomb, not that big, but it's still gonna suck, kinda.
Yep. Yeah, it'll take at least both of us out.
So then, Red Skull's weakness is the fucking Walkman that plays back the time his family got murdered in front of him. Somehow has this weird thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't be as bad as I am. And then, nope, I'm still bad. So then has to, like... Captain throws his shield at him. He dodges out of the way. It swings back at him. And what does it do? What does it do, Joe?
What did it do? It hit...
It hit the other broad.
Yeah, it hit the other broad his daughter. On the way back.
Yep.
But then I think at that point is Mike's number one favorite.
No, that's we're not there yet. When he takes Red Skull out. You're talking about the fourth wall?
No. Not that. What I was gonna say is you mentioned the hearing the night his family got murdered kind of touched something in him all of a sudden, and then the film for a brief second turns into a Shakespearean tragedy, and I have the quote right here because it's written down. Red Skull looks at Captain America.
Oh yes.
Holds the detonator high in the air. Says, "We are both tragedies. Now I send our tortured souls to rest." Captain America says, "Speak for yourself." Then throws the shield.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That knocks him off the cliff. And somehow the shield keeps flying in the air to come back. You see the Red Skull fly off the side of the
It looks thing. Like, it almost reminded me, was it the old Mr. Bill when he falls down?
Oh,
like,
no, Mr. Bill!
Oh, no! Because you hear him scream.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, this faraway shot of you clearly tell it's just a
mannequin of some sort,
dummy. Yeah. And it falls, and it doesn't even go into the water like you kind of would hope the scenery would be. It hits the cliff like 4 times on the way down.
And then the shield is coming back. Then the daughter, Red Skull's daughter, stands up, grabs the machine gun that Red Skull was using that he set on the grand piano, is getting ready to fire at either Captain America or his girlfriend. I can't be sure which one it was. It was awful at that point.
She wasn't going to hit either of them. It doesn't matter.
Yep. He's like, heads up. She turns just in time to get hit by the shield, which pretty much, by the way, must kill her because it flies right back in his hand perfectly. No blood, of course. But earlier, that same shield thrown at a nice velocity cut a gun in half.
Mm-hmm.
So that girl's dead. So Captain America,
yeah, that
we know,
got decapitated for sure.
Visibly, we've known Captain America has killed 2 people. Duty reflected the bullet off earlier.
And most likely, at least 17 from, you know, other fights. Yeah. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt for those
ones. This girl, who's not sleepy. Innocent. The girl was not innocent whatsoever. She was a killer, sort of. She killed the reporter, I'm thinking. Anyways, so she gets taken down. Captain America then grabs a shield. Here comes what is the worst shot of the entire movie. It's a close-up, head-and-shoulders shot of Captain America looking towards the direction of Red Skull, and you hear, like, the swelling of music, and he's turning to look the other direction, which, by the way, is completely away from where the girlfriend's at. She's still ahead of him because she's between him and Red Skull, but somehow not in trouble anymore. looks is panning to the to his right, stops, dead looks directly in the camera, smiles, almost a wink, I'm pretty sure, and then continues on to his look to his right.
And at that point, fuck you, 90s Captain America. Fuck you for breaking the fourth wall and trying to be that encouraging, cool. This wasn't like, because this has been done and done well before with the original Superman.
Yep.
At the very end of the movie, everything's cool. He gives that slight little nod to the camera. I don't know why this one pissed me off so much, because the Superman one, done well. You bought into the movie. You liked the, probably because you liked the movie at that point.
Yeah.
But absolutely 110% fuck you, 1990s Captain America, for looking at the camera and smiling. No goddamn reason for that at all.
Exactly. No, it was so cheap. The whole movie was just so cheesy. It almost had to include that because it was so cheesy, but it...
The worst part about it is this fourth, the breaking the fourth wall, it's not a quick thing. He holds it for a good, like,
yeah, because the Superman one seconds. Was in passing, slight
yep.
pause... And then in passing as he turned away, really cool, kind of gave nope. you as a little kid, you watch it, you're like, shit, yeah, man, Superman's got her back. Captain America does it. He's lingering at you yep. like he's that weird uncle at the house party that your mom tell you don't be in alone in the room with. Really fucking creepy.
Yes, very much so. So then it goes to a narrative, which I thought at first was the president giving like a speech about Captain America. It ends up being just some random narrator reading a newspaper report. Goes to a picture of Captain America in this tattered outfit still, holding his shield, and then goes to a Steve Ditko drawing.
Yeah, it morphs Captain into America. The cover of the Captain America comic.
End credits.
End credits. And so, thank fucking Lord, credits finally came, because that movie was literally like an hour and 37 minute long shit that you did not want to be there for.
Nope. All right, so overall, our thoughts on this movie, I'm pretty sure all of us, it has a weird nostalgic to it, but is not great. But, Mike, what were your final thoughts on the movie?
Final thoughts on the movie is, this is called Torture Theater Podcast. Yep. Like, this is the segment for a very good reason, and we watched that for you, for your entertainment. So, you're welcome. And movie... Honestly, if you catch it on TV, it's worth sitting there, watch a couple of corny scenes of it, and don't waste your whole time watching the whole movie, because it's definitely not worth it.
I love the movie, like I said before, but
Joe's going to watch it again tomorrow.
It's probably been like 15 years since I've seen it. It'll probably be another 15, 20 years since I see it again. And that's all I have to say.
The worst part about this is, and I'll go ahead and I'm okay with this, I spent $10 on this movie. I bought this for
$10. We didn't even illegally download this movie to watch this crap or record it or DVR.
Bought on iTunes.
Yep.
Cody, so devoted to this show, $10 so we could do this podcast.
I love that iTunes even made sure. Oh, are you sure you want to download this?
Click on buy, put in my password, then iTunes pops up a window and says, are you sure you want to buy this?
Almost as if iTunes is like, dude, no.
It's like, this is not the Captain America you think it is. We put it up here because we're willing to let people buy it. But God damn it, we're just warning you.
Why are you doing this?
This is not the Captain America you think it is. I knew what it was. I bought it for this show. So hopefully this will bring in, you know, some sympathy downloads and subscriptions. So... If you please share this, let people hear it. I don't want my $10 to be wasted on one single.
You know, all those actors are going to get a check, and they're just going to go, huh, wow.
Apple's paying us. What's going on here?
Somebody bought that thing.
I haven't had a check for this since 1993.
All right, so that is it for this episode. We did do Torture Theater. Michael?
All right, so with Torture Theater, obviously, you know, still a very young podcast. We have a couple different shows. We would like to keep it to a four-show rotation, more than likely, once a week. Might change very here and there, but Torture Theater is something we actually, I did have a lot of fun doing this. Definitely not a movie I'd watch on my own, but since, you know, we had a reason for it, it was a lot of fun doing this. We hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you have any suggestions, we're up to, what, almost 70 likes on the Facebook page for this.
Yep.
So if you have any suggestions, hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is?
@ comesnaturalpod.
and give us suggestions, please. Anything, if we get a bunch of one movie, or maybe we'll throw up a poll on our Facebook page, something like that. But we definitely want to hear from you. If you are Apple friendly, please subscribe to it. You'll get the episodes as soon as they come out. They'll download automatically. Please rate and review. Kind of help us just get some movement going on that. Kind of get us going a little bit in the right direction. And that's all I got to say.
And also, you can email us directly at comesnaturallypodcast@gmail.com.
And actually, let's give a shout out. We've actually had some people that not our friends download and reach out to us.
Yep.
And mention the podcast. So really, really cool. So if you want to hit us on Twitter, if you know us or if you don't, really appreciate any feedback you can give us at this point.
It's awesome. Really, yes, really for sure. Awesome. So that's it for us for this episode. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Thanks for listening to Comes Naturally. We'll see you next time.
Peace.